Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining me for your SmackDown post show for June 6th. It is the go home to Money in the Bank. If you've noticed, I am down a set of calves. Cardoza's having some problems with his power. We're hoping he'll be able to join at some point, but if not, I'll be flying solo tonight. So get into your super chats and humper chats. Help me out, man. Help me out, because we've got a lot to talk through. Our dear Alex Pulowski, who was on Fightful Selected, is doing two shows with me tomorrow, was like, I can help you out if you need it. I said, no, I'm going to fly solo on this one. We're going to see if Cardoza can join, but told him to rest up, man. We're coming out of the bullpen sharp tomorrow. So thank you to him for offering, and thank you to you guys for hanging out with me. Going SRS style. He's doing those Monday reviews by himself. Alex got so tired of WWE bounce. He did not. There's a lot happening between heat waves and all sorts of crazy weather, especially down south. But chat along with me. We're going to talk about this episode together, you guys and I. We're also going to take a quick moment to remind you to leave a thumbs up on this video, to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. There will be scoops. There always are for PLEs, especially a dual PLE weekend. I don't like to hit you guys with plugs too hard anymore, but man, if we're going to be having Slim Jim tables, I feel like it's only fair that we promote ourselves a little bit, right? So I am going to tell you to subscribe to Fightful Select, best $5.99 in the biz. Also, this YouTube channel is closing in. I don't want to say closing in like imminently on 200,000 subscribers, but we'll probably get there by the end of the year. And we just appreciate that support so much. It really does help us jump up in the algorithm there. So keep an eye out, especially with so much wrestling on. You guys want to stay tuned. You want to stay tuned to all of the different shows that we have for you. But let's dive in. Cyclops is better than Wolverine saying, my fellow Julia fans were eating good tonight. We're going to talk about the good and the bad of that in a moment, but some in-ring fun happening there. But let's dive in. I think we saw something kind of fun from Solo Sikoa that he's been leaning into in our opening segment here, and I gotta say, if you're gonna bookend the show with the Seth Riders, as we've been affectionately calling it over here, you gotta do something more than have Seth wax poetic and then also have Paul Heyman wax poetic towards the end. So I feel like they've gotta find something new to say here, other than and Seth is doing his best with it, but they've kind of run out of juice already, which isn't a great sign. But we kick things off with Seth and the Band of Misfit Revolutionaries, kind of as it was with Heyman, Bron Breakker, and Bronson Reed coming to the ring. This just felt kind of like another recycled monologue. Power the future feels like a ChatGPT monologue, honestly. But Roman Reigns is absent again, which is something that is noticed here. And the crowd gives kind of polite boos, but I think that gets a mixed reaction when people genuinely are bummed that Roman Reigns isn't there. Like, so I don't know if that gets like the heel heat that they were kind of expecting it to. I also, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, chat. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we had a proper explanation about the fact that Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins had like a blood feud? Bronson Reed got injured and then just comes back and his friends. I know there was like a little bit of justification, some glossing over from Paul Heyman a week or two ago, but like, I need a proper explanation. And here's the thing. WWE, in case you've been living under a rock, has been on fire lately, right? Or felt that way going into Elimination Chamber and subsequently WrestleMania, etc. I don't want them to get lazy on justifying things. Like, I don't want them to throw away all the goodwill that they built up, other than Drew McIntyre, who justifies literally everything that's ever been done. I don't want to see John Cena's heel turns not getting explained. I don't want to see just gaping holes like that with Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed. And they've been doing that a lot. They've been doing that a lot of just kind of good enough. Paul Heyman, that goes just some words around it. Like, no, that was an insane feud that kind of put Bronson Reed on the map, to be honest. Not that he wasn't already great, but it kind of showed us like he's a top of the card kind of guy. And they really didn't do anything to patch up that work. So not a fan of that aspect of it, but I'll tell you what I am a fan of. Solo Sikoa leaning into his humor on these. Like, I'm really a big fan of the fact that they've tapped into his humor. I know some people feel like, well, he's just not the guy because Jacob Fatu is the guy. And I don't think there's anybody denying that Jacob Fatu is the guy right now. But as someone who watched Solo Sikoa come up through NXT, and I know he kind of got, held down to the role he was in with Roman, which I think he served pretty well. This guy has more personality than he's been able to kind of showcase. I actually think part of, I don't want to say the hiccup with him, because I actually think he does a better job than most people give credit. But I think some of the reason that he got so overshadowed is I think this guy's actually just kind of a natural babyface. But if he's not in a position where he can be a babyface, I think leaning into his humor is a very, very good idea. And he kind of comes out and listen, the WWE roast at WrestleMania did not go well. This is how you roast people. Solo Sikoa should be the one leading the charge on this. He does great. He brought some life to this segment for sure. He rolls things out with Jacob Fatu and JC Mateo. He's got this weird sweet spot with this comedic bite. And it's something actually that I think Roman had that was kind of an underestimated part of his game in a lot of situations. So it's nice to see that there. He just kind of rolls through this whole squad. He calls Bronson Reed an honorary oos and questions Braun's future. But then Seth pulled the pin and tried to stir the pot between Solo and Fatu, teasing that Jacob might betray Solo soon. And doesn't fully work. We don't get any punches thrown, but we do get a stare down between Fatu and Breaker. The crowd was really, really alive kind of all night, but for this segment especially, like that Fatu Braun Breaker thing was put it in my veins. Like, I'm here for that moment. So I really liked that. And then we have Jimmy Uso getting jumped by JC Mateo from behind. And that kind of leads into our first match of the night. So I think there was some effective work done in this. I think the idea of dangling the carrot of Braun Breaker and Jacob Fatu is something that feels extremely fresh and new, and I like that. Are we just mixing the rosters now is a question that I have. And they are in the trap that AEW was a while back, where every story was just, can I trust my friends? There are so many stories that are, can I trust my friends of late? And that's a common trope, and it's pro wrestling, so of course. But like, they've been leaning on it pretty heavy. Oh, we got some love coming in from you guys. Tim McFowell saying, money's for Solo, bangs. Watch Talking instead of SmackDown. Because, man, WWE is boring right now. Plus, it's Pride and hockey players are hot. That's a very fair point. I don't think wrestlers are unattractive, but I can't argue that there are several very attractive hockey players. The ladies' Money in the Bank ladder match should be a humper tomorrow. Becky and Lyra, too. Yes, that women's ladder in the bank match is loaded. They kind of telegraphed who's not winning, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but Bad Robot saying, hello, favorite post show. Poor Alex and his power wink. Julia is a star. U.S. champ at Evolution or SummerSlam, I think. So excited for their Money in the Bank sponsored by DeWalt Ladder, Slim Jim, and NordVPN. NordVPN, you say? NordVPN, you say? Look, I don't normally go to ad reads that early in the show, but if you're going to set us up with one, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Not tell you about how great NordVPN is?
If you're a wrestling fan and you're frustrated with all the services you need to watch all the different wrestling shows, Fightful has your solution with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Change your virtual location with just one click, and you'll be able to watch Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs on one Netflix account. You'll also be able to get a lot of pay-per-views at a much more affordable price than you do here in the United States. This is a must-have for wrestling fans. That way you don't have to have 7 different accounts to watch all of the shows that you want to watch. In addition to that, they have a great 30-day money-back guarantee and an incredible deal right now going on. But that's far from it. You can protect yourself on their VPN service, the fastest in the world, shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourselves on public Wi-Fi, and it's available on all your devices and operating systems. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN, so good to us. We've been hearing more and more of people saying like, hey, I actually checked out Nord and it saved me a bunch of money already. And I love getting messages like that. Nord loves getting messages like that. It helps our partnership. So that's just awesome to hear on so many fronts. Like it makes us happy because then we get to tell our sponsors that and our partnership grows. But honestly, we're just so excited to be saving you guys money across the board. Like everybody is cord cutting anymore. And Nord just ends up paying for itself pretty quick, especially if you're buying AEW pay-per-views. But like, because of Nord, I'm able to watch everything on Netflix now. All the wrestling that is on WWE, I watch on Netflix. So we've just been hearing that a lot of people being like, I love the safety, but like, honestly, that saved me a lot of money. So thank you for telling us that, because it genuinely helps us out so much. We love you guys. And we love Nord, like genuinely saves you money on pay-per-views, secures everything. There's all these other built-in features that we should probably talk about more, honestly, like a password manager and all sorts of stuff. So they will save you money and they will secure all your devices. My phone thinks I'm in London right now. So kind of wish I was. I'll stay there till Forbidden Door, right? Me, Norma, saying greetings to the SGS and the leggiest blonde onion in the biz. Why, thank you. I'm sure SmackDown was cromulent. Hockey has been stupendous. I'm still meaty. How are you? Well, I'm still vegan, but I'll tell you what. I am now doing more challenging workouts than I have been, and I'm going more consistently to the gym than I ever have been. So like I'm getting meatier. You know what I mean? Like I can feel it in my shoulders today, man. We've got a feeling sore today, but we appreciate you being around here as always. Anthony Velasquez saying probably would have enjoyed the opening segment for Solo if Solo, or the opening segment more if Solo was built up to feel like more of a threat to Seth, but he doesn't feel like it yet. Yeah, wins and losses would be very helpful. We're going to wax poetic about that in a little bit, but I think with Solo especially, like even just some more like squash-based ones, here's why I think it's actually really crucial that Solo Sikoa gets some dominant wins. He should be built up to be a credible opponent for Seth and whoever. And he should also be trying to flex to Jacob Fatu at this point. I feel like something that is crucial is because Jacob Fatu is this runaway train, right? Solo Sikoa needs squash wins to flex, to say like, hey, man, don't step out of line. Just a reminder of who's in charge of this thing. And we haven't gotten enough of that. Like, I want to see Solo asserting his dominance in that way, especially because the humor is a sweet spot. We can't forget the underbelly of what this all is. Was he is the leader of this faction, right? So I feel like that's a pretty key part that could be 5 minutes of television. Cut your yeeting in half, do a 5-minute squash match, and I think you'd be in better shape. Just Ricardo saying, Solo, Kate, hello, lovelies. How was the grabs? Kind of mixed tonight. It was a go home, but some of the in-ring overpowered how go homey certain things were. So we're going to talk about it all. But we will continue. A lot of the chat is asking me about Alex Windsor, not in super chat form, but I do want to talk about the fact that she signed with AEW today. She announced at Pro Wrestling Eve in England that it would be her last indie match for a while because she signed with AEW. So it looks like Alex Windsor is All Elite. What do I think about it? I think it rules. I think she's extremely talented. I think there's going to be a lot of people saying that, oh, it's Ospreay's wife. She is a standalone talent all by herself. She does not need Will Ospreay to ride the coattails of. You guys are going to be really, really impressed if you're not familiar with her work already. She had a great match against Athena. She has great matches all over the world. She hits really hard. She's a lot of fun. You're going to love seeing matches with her and Chris Statlander, her and Willow. Her and Jamie Hayter already had one that you should go check out. Alex Windsor is a fantastic talent. And I just saw, because of nature of what I do, a lot of, oh, Ospreay's girl, Ospreay's wife. Oh, she's only signed because of Ospreay. Like, no, say that to her face because she's going to kick her butt. That's what I think. So she's fantastic. Some people were well-intending, being like, oh, Ospreay's wife, the keeper of his haircut. And yeah, that's who we're talking about here. Tim McFowell saying Alex Windsor hits harder than Ospreay. You know what's kind of funny is like they have pretty different ring styles. Like I love that. I love a couple with very different ring styles. That's fun. I love this. I watch it via Nord on Netflix. Thank you guys. I'll take this joke too. What do Sokoa and Kate have in common? They're both riding solo. We're both solo today. Ah, I like it. Let's keep moving through. Thank you guys for hanging out. I know sometimes solo shows are a little weird, but listen, if Sean can do them, I can do them. I saw this little Instagram reel the other day that was like, it was a woman DIYing stuff. And she was like, if boys can do it, how hard can it be? And I was like, I like that attitude. If boys can do it, it can't be that hard, right? Can't be that hard. But let's talk about our first match of the night. We get a solid opener between Jimmy and JC Mateo. Jeff Cobb Mateo, as it were. He looks strong. Like he's been really good with this. They've let him showcase the things he's best at in the ring a lot. And I thought he might not get as much screen time because of his age, but he doesn't look like he's aged out of this at all, right? Like I guess actually in your early 40s is like what a lot of the WWE top of the card is now. So I shouldn't say that, but he looks great. We get the exploder suplex, the back suplexes, standing moonsaults in this. But the story was Solo trying to recruit Jimmy kind of back into the fold mid-match. And there's some interference that backfires here when...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.
Fatu gets bumped. Here's what I don't like. JC gets rolled up by Jimmy. And I ain't buying that JC Mateo is kicking out of a roll-up. Or isn't kicking out of a roll-up. Excuse me. I think that is an ass ending. I'm sorry. I don't buy it. I don't buy that unless you're the size of two JC Mateos, that JC Mateo ain't kicking out of a roll-up. Nope. Not buying it. Sorry. No thanks. Find a different ending. That guy, my sister said he's built like the armoire from Beauty and the Beast, which I've said before, but I'm going to say it again because it's like my favorite thing. Because it's true, okay? My sister famously doesn't watch wrestling. She one time borrowed a New Japan Lion Mark baseball shirt that I had. And so she pretends that she's the biggest New Japan fan in the world. And that transitioned to, like, I actually run New Japan. Like, you don't need Gato. You don't need Tanahashi. You have my sister. But anyway, all that to say, she was like, she saw him on the screen and was like, oh, that guy looks awesome. I was like, oh, yeah, Jeff Cobb. He's awesome. I'm sure it was a match against Zack Sabre Jr. that she would have caught a glimpse of, because they fought each other 100 times and I watched all of them. And she was like, that dude, he's built like the arm wire from Beauty and the Beast. And we, like, we had to look it up because I was laughing so hard. We put them side by side. She's not wrong. My sister was dead on with that comparison. So good on her. Good on her. Solid first match, but this was about advancing the tension between them, right? I will say, this is being well done. Right now, I'll say it's being well paced. I reserve the right to change my mind if they drag this out too long. But sometimes, in the way that they tell stories in general, they very much spoon feed things to you, right? I always go back to it, and it's not Michael Cole's fault, but like, my God, it's the Shield chair. It's like, let smart fans be smart without shoving it down our throat, right? Now it'll be the Shield Slim Jim chair shot of the week or whatever. But they telegraph breakups for so long and so obviously that we don't get like the snap of a great heel turn. That's kind of true across American wrestling television in general. Like, we don't get a ton of that with AEW, but we had a shocking moment when Mariah May turned on Toni Storm. We had a shocking moment when Jon Moxley put a bag over Bryan Danielson's head, right? So I wish they would allow breathing room on the product more for surprise heel turns and surprise splits rather than constantly telegraphing for weeks. Some things are needed in that way, right? Like, some cases that makes plenty of sense, but not all of them. Let us have some surprises every now and then. Let's keep moving along. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Send in your super chats and humper chats. Help me out today. Help me out today. Let's keep going, though. We get a backstage between Julia and Zelina Vega. And I said, cool. Way to tell us that Julia's not winning Money in the Bank. I was so bummed. Like, I'm excited for this. But if somebody is, they've been doing this a lot, too. If somebody is competing for a different title, well, they're probably not going to win the device that is for a world title shot, right? Like, if you have a mid-card title, probably ain't going to win. Lyra Valkyria being in so many matches that were for anything but her own title before the Becky storyline came along, right? Like, there's so many instances of that, and it's I find it very frustrating because those spots could go toward other women. They could go toward other women. But we do have Zelina and Julia backstage cutting a fired up promo. And Zelina says that the only way she can get the U.S. title is from her cool dead hands. And Julia's just like, I have no problem murdering where you stand, little girl. Like, she just ice cold with this little smirk on her. I love that. I think Julia definitely wins. And we're going to talk about this in a minute. But they consistently go out of their way to make Zelina Vega look so weak. They made her look weak before she was a champion. She won the title. They had her doing tag programs with Alexa Bliss, and now this match. So, not thrilled with her booking at all. But let's talk about this match, because she defeats Piper Niven in a Bakersfield brawl. The most brawl that you could ever brawl is in Bakersfield, right? There's weapons everywhere. There's Zelina Vega bringing out a kendo stick early, hitting the code breaker. I don't buy that a fully clothed Piper Niven is taking a lot of punishment from a Zelina Vega kendo stick crack. The thing with kendo sticks is they are most painful when they crack the flesh. And Piper Niven just had all her clothes on. So I'm sure it does some impact. Oh, see, I'm not solo tonight. There's my dog. But even from the fan perspective, the reason that wrestlers use kendo sticks is because the sound it makes, the marks it leaves. Otherwise, it's kind of just like being hit with a weak little baseball bat. I remember when Elena Black, then Cora Jade, was in NXT. She was walking around with one that was electrical taped in back, and it was something that drove me and Alex Pulaski absolutely nuts, because putting the electrical tape on it makes it less effective. The crack of the kendo stick is supposed to be that wood is like splintering on contact of your bat. So they did it because she was a heel that wore black. But that was extremely silly. Kind of here, like this was the same thing. So just like, if you're producing matches, to be more aware of stuff like that, I think would be a good idea. But Piper, man, huge bombs in this. And Zelina is so small, and she does have like this magnetism to her that you do instinctively go to root for her, I think, in a lot of cases, which is good, which is what you want out of your babyface champion, right? But she's just using chains and hitting cross bodies into the ring steps and power bombing, and things start to escalate when Alba Fyre and Chelsea Green get involved, making it basically a 3-on-1 match. But then here comes Julia, taking out Chelsea Green and Alba Fyre, and helping Zelina Vega power bomb Piper Niven through the table. My kingdom for a situation where Zelina Vega looks strong. A couple things with this. One, the amount of times that they lean on triple threats and no DQs so that they can have interference with matches is nauseating at this point. Sean was talking about how if he was a mummy, there would still be interferences. There's a great rant on the Monday Night Raw show. I'll let you guys go watch it. But it's true. And they use no DQ matches as a cop-out because there was not enough to like animosity between these two women to warrant a no DQ match. And on top of that, it's just one of the cop-outs they use so that they can add more people into the picture. Having Zelina Vega need help to retain her title when she, A, defends it pretty rarely, B, is a new champion, C, was a loser before she won the title. And I mean that in the literal sense. She had only lost on the show, like constantly losing, constantly had her shoulders to the mat. She won like 3 times in 3 years or something. So I just want them to make their champions look strong. And when you do that on top of a title reign where Chelsea Green lost more than she won because she was being goofy, being her goofy Chelsea Green self with the Secret Hervis, like, this is a brand new title and this is how you're establishing it? I don't know, man. But Julia helps her out to headbutt Vega and then hit her with that Northern Lights bomb. My goodness. I like the idea that I think they're implying is that she was doing this so that she could beat Zelina Vega for the US title. And she's like, well, I have a much worse chance versus Piper Niven. I think she helped her because it was saving her own title shot, not because that they are friends so much. So I like that psychology from Julia quite a bit. She is something else. Let's talk about this Rhea, Steph, and Alexa match versus Julia, Naomi, and Rox match. Solid trios match. I saw a couple of mixed reactions with Julia. And some people were saying, like, man, she's sloppy. And some people were saying, man, she rules because she is hard-hitting. I think both of those things are true. I think she's still getting the rhythm of weekly American television. A lot of her time in NXT was spent in multi-person matches. And unfortunately for her, like, a lot of her title reign was largely not about her. It was about tension between Bayley and Roxanne that never paid off. So I think there is still, even though she spent some time in NXT, like, finding a rhythm of what that is. Some of the triple threat sloppiness stuff was not her fault. There was a standing twisting neck breaker in there that Charlotte, I don't know if she no-sold. I don't know if she didn't know what the move was or what was going on. Standing twisting neck breakers are one of my favorite moves, and she just kind of lay there. So, but this match was super, super fun. It's a preview to the Money in the Bank match. Obviously, they have a habit of doing this. Whether you like it or not is up to you. But they've got the good gals and the bad gals, 3-on-3. And Julia and Steph kind of kick things off with some really, honestly, like Julia and Steph had some mat work and chain wrestling that I was like, okay, let's see more of this in this women's division. Let's see more of this. And then Naomi, of course, had her moments. But when it came time for a tag late in the match, she just walked out. She just walked out. So that leaves Roxanne alone to eat the sister. Abigail DDT from Alexa. We get a drop kick from Steph and the Riptide from Rhea for the pin. Those three being on the same side of things was fun. Those three being on the same side of things was really fun. And so they're, of course, staring up at the briefcase. This isn't like a traditional thing where you're like, well, wrestling math says then that none of the faces are going to win tomorrow. I would put my odds on Naomi, though. I think it's an integral next step for her. And I think, like, Rhea doesn't need it. Roxanne can wait a little. Like, I think right now you got to capitalize on Naomi and Naomi's time. But why listen to my odds when you can go to our new betting sponsor and find out what they have to say? We did a lot of work with Bet Online. We have now moved over to a younger, sexier sponsor, as I like to say, with MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, another place where you can bet on wrestling. We're using their odds to guide us moving forward. They are fantastic. They are also, much like Bet Online, was extremely well established. There's a lot of fun to be had over there. There are plenty of things to bet on in addition to wrestling. They've got live betting on traditional sports. They've got esports. They've got some entertainment over there for you as well. I think you can bet on stuff like the Nick Choice Awards I think I saw over there before. So plenty to check out with MyBookie. Trusted partner for sure. And they've got your odds up for a couple of things tomorrow. We've got Money in the Bank odds for you. Becky Lynch at a -800. So heavily favorited there. If you think Bayley is coming back to cost Becky and Lyra's going to win, you might want to take that bet at my bookie. We've got the faces, not a heavy favorite, but favorited there. Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. The Money in the Bank ladder match for the men. You got Seth Rollins as the favorite. LA Knight might be worth throwing a couple bucks at, but Solo Sikoa is at a +1,000. Andrade's at a +2,000. Penta's at a +1,200. Grande Americano's the closest, but Seth Rollins at that -190 is the only one that's favorited for that match. So if you're feeling like someone else can sneak in there, might be worth throwing some money there too. Naomi favorited as well for the women. Everybody else on the plus side there. And then we have Worlds Collide as well. So Ethan Page heavily favorited to retain that North American title. The women's tag match, which is Steph and Lola Vice taking on Tormenta. And I'm going to screw this up. Dallas. They're expected to retain or to win. Excuse me. We got our six man with Elijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., Psycho Clown and Pagano versus Legado. We've got Elijo de Wagner, Psycho Clown, and Pagano favorited to win that. So Legado being picked to lose on that one, which I think is probably a wise call because there's a lot of other WWE presence winning, it looks like, on this. So and that singles match between Vikingo and Chad Gable, most people are predicting that it's going to be Vikingo. I would say that's the right side of things. But if you want lock bets, FightfulSelect.com has them for you over there. A lot more of you are watching now than at the beginning of the show. I appreciate you hanging out with me through this solo show that I've got going on. Help me get through it. Send in those super chats and humper chats at humperchats.com. Take a quick reminder for what's on the main channel tomorrow. So no collision because we had that 4-hour block on Wednesday as well. But we do have me and Alex Pulowski reviewing Worlds Collide because it is an NXT crossover. Neither of us are very familiar with AAA. I'll be completely transparent about it. We've got that on the main channel for you. And then with Money in the Bank, Sean's going to be doing the main show here on the Fightful YouTube, but on Fightful Select, me and Alex Pulaski pulling double duty tomorrow. So hang out with us there. Show Sean who's boss. All right. Subscribe and be like, I'm over there watching. Or Dueling Pianos Band. Have dueling reviews open. Get in those super chats and humper chats. Let's talk about this Aleister Black and LA Knight. I guess if they were a team, they could be like the Black Knight, which is pretty cool. But we get a match that you're not going to believe this. Guys, you're not going to believe how this match ends. You're not going to believe it when I tell you. If you are watching this post show and you didn't watch this episode of SmackDown, you're not going to believe it. You have no idea what's coming, okay? You're going to be so shocked. Overwhelmed. Make sure you're sitting down right now, okay? Make sure you're sitting down. Get your heart rate down. Just know that the information that's coming to you is going to be extremely surprising. It ends in a DQ. These two actually had some good chemistry. There was some nice counter wrestling really early in this. We had LA Knight with a nice pop-up power slam, big jumping elbow. Love that. And we had Aleister Black with the sliding knee and moonsault. And just as things were going well, man, Seth Rollins and everyone hit the ring, causing the DQ. Man, Rollins stomps Knight. Reed hits a senton. Braun wrecks everybody with spears, which was kind of fun. I am so freaking sick of this company being so lazy. The chat, I tried to tell you, man. I tried to tell you. Everyone's like, excuse me? A DQ? You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Anthony Velasquez saying, speaking of not buying things, when I was talking earlier, said, I don't buy that Aleister Black would be bothered by someone stealing a win in a three-way match. It's a very fair point. That's a very, very fair point. Everybody's still, I'm sorry. I should have given you an even bigger warning that a match ended in a DQ. I should have let you know. Ladies and gentlemen of Fightful, YouTube subscribers, friends, family, I apologize for not giving you the proper warning that a match on SmackDown ended in disqualification. I consider myself a woman of faith. Just here to pop myself, you guys. Just here to pop myself. As there's a home run. Oh my God, who hit the home run? I know that. Who hit the home run? Who hit the home run? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I apologize. But there was a very famous incident where a sports broadcaster who's still working, said a slur on air. And as he was apologizing, he was still calling the play-by-play. It was unbelievable. I can't. Oh, man. Who hit the home run? Let me know. Let me know in the chat if you guys remember. Oh, man. This was a good match. It ended in DQ. Surprise, surprise. I hope everybody recovers well from my groundbreaking information that I shared with you. But let's keep working through this episode. We got Andrade and Penta versus the Creed Brothers. And I got to say, I was very surprised by the pacing of this match. It was the Reds. This is why it kills me. Because Sean's going to be like, how could he remember that if I tell him? I mean, iconic, like one of the most insane sports commentary things to ever exist. It was unreal. He was like, It doesn't reflect me. I consider myself a... Yeah, it was Tom Brenneman. Yeah. And like, as he's saying he considers himself a man of faith, he's still calling like the two-run homer or whatever that guy hit. It was so... Look it up. Look it up, man. Look it up. It's a good time. I'll tell you what else was a good time. Andrade and Penta beating the Creeds. Now, I am so sick of the Creeds not wrestling. I am very tired of them not being pushed heavily. I'm very tired of them being stooges for what I think a lot of people fairly consider a pretty racist gimmick. And at minimum, I think a lot of people feel like a misuse of Chad Gable. It was Nick Castellanos. Thank you. This match was really, really fun. Anytime I see Julius Creed get to wrestle, I'm blown away. I've been blown away since NXT. He's unbelievable. And they really, really need to make something of these guys. And I'm just so confused by... Maybe there'll be some draft superstar shake of blah, blah, blah. Why is it so lopsided between tag divisions? Like, the SmackDown division has some teams, man. And they've got a lot cooking. They have a lot going on. And I understand that they have an extra half hour-ish of programming. But, like, what are the New Day going to do? Fight the Viking Raiders and the LWO for the rest of their life? Like, man... You want to talk? I was going to save this rant for the end because it applies with Cena too, but you want to talk about heel turns with bad follow-ups. They've got them all over the place. All over the place. We're going to talk about it being a bigger issue at the end, but this match with Andrade and Penta versus the Creeds was really good. I was very surprised by how fast-paced it was because Andrade is a big, strong dude with explosive offense, but he's not like... I wouldn't be like, he's the world's quickest guy in the ring. And Penta, for a luchador, especially, like, part of what I like about him is he's got, like, more power than speed to him. Like, that's what was so fun with Fénix was, and the pairing of those two, what is so fun with the pairing of those two is Fénix is all speed and gymnastics. All speed and acrobatics. And so much fun to watch. And athletic... feats that should not be fathomable to a human being is what Fénix is. And Penta has this completely other motion with it, right? And the Creed brothers are not exactly high flyers either. So when this match took off, I was so surprised. It was kind of like they were like, we got 8 minutes. Let's just go as hard as we can for 8 minutes. And it was really fun. It was really fun. Andrade and Penta kind of got an early advantage, but you had the Creeds just suplexing. Just suplexing everything in sight. Julius Creed is an athletic freak. Like, if Bron Breakker wasn't in the Seth Riders faction, I would be so bummed that Julius Creed wasn't under the Paul Heyman wing because, man, that dude should be, like, like a top-of-the-card guy, not a Chad Gable stooge. But Gable tried to interfere on the outside, but Vikingo comes to chase him off, which is smart. We get that match officially made for Worlds Collide, which we kind of all knew was coming, but it gets made there. And Penta hits a Canadian Destroyer on Julius Creed for the win. Don't love Julius taking the pin. No offense to Brutus. But Julius Creed is like a... If you watched him at NXT till now, you would be asking yourself, like, man... How many NXT call-ups are they going to miss the handoff of? But how do you miss it with them when you need tag teams so bad? Blows my mind. Let's keep moving on. This match was really fun, though. This was fun. And then post-match, you get the Canadian Destroyer on Julius, but you have Rollins, Reed, and Braun striking again. Spears, stomp, tsunamis. You get one. Let's move along here. Well, creepy ass Wyatt's watching. That's what we got next. Shout out to my cousin in the chat. Hi, Michael. He's so great, except he loves Burn Notice so much. I can't get behind it. It's not fair because I got him into wrestling. So it's like if I got you into kind of like cheesy entertainment on a lot of levels. It can be the most amazing form of entertainment, of course. But like, I feel like I should have at least tried with Burn Notice, but it ain't happening. It ain't happening. Creepy ass Wyatts are watching. Let's talk about it. Bo Dallas says grief doesn't heal, it festers, and that they're here to condemn and not entertain. Every tag team was watching this and every tag team was freaking out. So they are really going through with the fact that they are targeting the tag division. You got DIY and the Street Profits, Fraxium. Everybody's blaming each other for provoking the Wyatts into all of this. And Nick Aldis is just like, he's kind of playing kindergarten cop out there. I'm glad that there's at least an intention behind what they're doing. I hope it pays off. So we will keep moving right along. Let's talk about, we at the main event already? We are, aren't we? My goodness. Time flies when you're flying solo, I guess. So last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Thank you guys for sticking with me tonight. I know watching solo reviews can be weird, but I appreciate the support. And I appreciate Alex Pulaski for offering earlier. He stuck with me twice tomorrow. So I figured we'd give him the night off. Also got a bit of a headache cooking. So I was like, you know what? Let me rock through this. Let me rock through this solo. But let's keep chatting. Alex did a solo show already, by the way, on Fightful Select. He watches the third hour of SmackDown while reviewing the first 2 hours of SmackDown. So if you're like, I just need a little more sour, rock on over there. Rock on over there. Also, take a final reminder to remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We had a lot of news over there, including some contract news, including that Karrion Kross has not been approached about renewing that we know of as of yet, which is kind of wild considering how over the dude is with this new character he's leaned into. I feel like it would be very weird if he was giving a bunch of promos crapping on the company and then just left, right? That feels weird, but I guess let them do it. They don't have the best track record, and I think Sean alluded to this, so I feel okay saying the same thing because I had the same thought. Do you guys remember when Dijak got himself over with all the ratio stuff? And there were like, there's always reports that people like it. There's all these, so many reports about how impressed they've been with Natalya Bloodsport. And then they do nothing to change her presentation. They don't give her more screen time. She's just Maxine's mentor that doesn't get to wrestle. But all the reports are that they love it, right? Dijak had some early conversations about renewing his contract that didn't go anywhere, quite frankly. And they let him go. And he was super, super over with everything he was doing online, with all of the opportunities that he was given. When he got drafted from NXT, he had red sunglasses in one pocket. I'm assuming he had blue sunglasses in the other. Would have been very funny if he screwed that up, by the way. But they just still, even under the new era, it feels like they don't like when people get over on their own. Because what is Karrion Kross doing on main event? That's how it feels. That's how it feels as a viewer. Say that much. You can't get over in WWE and stick around, I guess. But you can leave. You have to leave and come back a proven entity. So you can make yourself. It just can't be on WWE's time. You have to either go start another company or whatever. It's very weird. Very weird mentality. Me Norma saying, here's a small sack of monies for reviewing SmackDown so I don't have to watch. Burn Notice was way better than Raw was at one point, probably still. Listen, I ain't watching it. I'm not retroactively going to watch Burn Notice. It's not happening, but thank you for the chat. There was some fun in-ring on SmackDown. It was just a go-home show, so there was going to be nothing super fun. And I just, my kingdom for a show that doesn't have a DQ finish on it, man. Like, it gets so, so tiresome. So tiresome. But out come Paul Heyman and Rollins to cut one last promo, and they get interrupted. I swear to God, if they don't find new phrases for things, like, I understand that they were asserting their dominance all over the show. But when Seth Rollins opens up talking about how they're going to make WWE in their future, and then Paul Heyman comes out here and says, it's the destiny of WWE, with, like, say something new. Explain why Bronson Reed is a part of this. Stop being lazy. Stop being lazy. But he gets interrupted by Cody for no reason. Cody has nothing to do with this. But the crowd pops. They were pretty over the Heyman and Seth yapping too, I think. But the crowd loved this. I can say that much about it. I couldn't care less. All of it was so predictable. Everything that they set up for John Cena since he won the title is exactly the same setup. It is lazy, 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 lazy. Formulaic, 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 formulaic. DQ finishes, distraction finishes, and then this kind of stuff. And they continue to do it because the live crowd keeps reacting. So I can't argue that. Like, the live crowd is reacting. But, like, here's something that I've noticed across all wrestling companies. Applies to AEW, too. You will see things and hear things like, this person's a draw, that's why they're getting so much screen time. Or this person selling merch. Or this person moves live houses. Great. What if, hear me out, you did something that was good with them too? You would hear this with AEW and Jericho all the time. Well, the ratings are high. Same with Copeland. The ratings are high when they're on. Imagine how much higher the ratings would be. Imagine how much higher the merch sales would be if you did stuff that was good with them as well, in addition to the crowd already being bought in on them. What if you did something interesting instead of the same segment copy and pasted over and over and over again? Same with Moxley. Well, the YouTube's on the Death Rider stuff. The views are so high. Imagine how high they would be if you were doing stuff that was good. Imagine. Just because you're getting good results, imagine if you were doing stuff that satisfied multiple audiences instead of phoning it in. Imagine. Drives you crazy. Drives me crazy. Oh, well, Jey Uso, look at him yeet. Look at the merch sales. Imagine if he wasn't a champion that wasn't constantly apologizing to us. Imagine if after his big underdog win against Gunther, making him tap out, he wasn't still presented as an underdog and was presented as a champion. Stop. Exhausting. Absolutely exhausting. Cody's music hits. He walks out and stares down Rollins, ready to shut him up. So we're seeing seeds of what's coming, right? But before anything can happen, Jey Uso is here to yeet. Not do much of anything else. Rollins and crew are like, we're a team no yeet. So they are out of there. So to be clear, Paul Heyman, Rollins, and that whole crew, like, they came out just to yap more and then just leave because someone else came out. Like, they literally had so little of value to say that they just leave because people appeared. Come on, man. You cannot tell me that is good use of TV time. I do appreciate dovetailing, and I do appreciate bookending episodes, but not when with no substance. Man. So Cody says that John Cena threw away 30 years of goodwill for one last run, and Jey says what they do tomorrow is going to be a yeet down. All right. I like Cody saying that Cena has thrown away 30 years of goodwill for one last run. Yeet down, get it? Because beat down? This is a champion, people. Stop. So Cena comes down. You're not going to believe this, but Logan Paul is there too. Cody sets up a crossroads on Logan, but wouldn't you know it? We get an AA to Jey Uso. We get frog splashes on both of them. This is the same setup for everything they've done since John Cena won, and it sucks. It's old already, and it just started. You guys think that Logan Paul's taking the pin tomorrow? Landing frog splashes on both of them? Yeah, I would say that's a safe bet. I would say that's a safe bet. But John Cena also says that it felt also like they looked at the clock and were like, oh, we have four more minutes. The way this episode petered out, it felt like the AA was supposed to be the end of the episode. And they were like, we have three more TV minutes and they ain't Netflix minutes. They are cable TV minutes. So they just kind of dragged this on a little bit longer. But eventually John Cena grabs a mic and says, he's been telling people for half a year that he's here to ruin the dream of what WWE means to them. It has not been half a year that he's doing that. So John Cena needs to consult calendars because it's really only been since Elimination Chamber, which was not half a year ago. It's only June. But he's got to figure out how time works. And there are loud, we want our truth chants. We want truth. And he says, you can't handle the truth because nothing turns this around like a reference to like a 25-year-old movie. Here's what I was thinking about as I was watching this. The first thing that I was thinking about watching this John Cena, Logan Paul, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso segment was, does it feel like Cody Rhodes is still champion to you guys and not John Cena? It feels to me like Cody Rhodes is still champion and not John Cena. And I think the disconnect is John Cena isn't beating high quality opponents to solidify his reign. And I think that they put Cena and Cody on screen back together way too soon. Shouldn't have happened that fast. It feels to me like Cody Rhodes is still champion. The other thing that I was thinking about was my kingdom for a well-done heel turn with WWE right now. New Day had one of the most emotive segments I have ever seen in my life when they turned heel with Big E. Like, ruined me. And they had zilch for a follow-up for months. Absolutely nothing for a follow-up. Extremely poorly done. And this John Cena heel turn, a lot of people are just already sick of it because they haven't done anything to make us care about him. Everything is a You People promo, which was fine initially because it was the most You People promo, earned You People promo of all time, right? But that wears thin when you're doing it for months on end. Then you win via a rapper who took 45 minutes getting down to the bottom of the ring at WrestleMania. And you beat R-Truth, who, God bless him, absolutely think he should have been resigned. He's 53. It was a bit. He was calling you a childhood hero. This is what we're doing with John Cena's last run? Come on. Gotta do better than that. Gotta do better than that. And the Becky Lynch heel turn, I think, is effective in the sense that this is the most over Lyra's ever been. It's also the first proper story she's ever been. So go figure. But now she's getting a third shot at the title off of losses. So you gotta do something with these heel turns, man. Like, you cannot have this much top talent being heel. Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch, John Cena, The New Day. Listen to the names I just mentioned. And being this ineffective with them. I don't think it's very good. I don't think it's very good. Also, both of your champions being tied up in a tag team match for not really any reason. Are there four matches for tomorrow? There's four matches for tomorrow. Dang, dude. Dang. Minoru was saying I canceled a date to watch the new G'day heel turn. I'm still single and the follow-up is poopy. It makes me sad. Apologies for the profanity. You can't just come in here saying words like poopy. Ridiculous me, Normus. Appreciate the chat. Appreciate it. But crowd was super into it. They're still hot for yeeting. They're still hot for Cody. So it's just me as an at-home analyst, I guess. But it's been an incredible lack of follow-through on these heel turns as a company-wide issue, at least on the main roster. But that's all I got for you guys. Thank you for hanging out with me as I flew solo today. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. My YouTube channel is slowly coming back to life pretty soon, so I'm very excited about that. We are relaunching probably on the 16th. I keep wanting to say the 15th, but that's a lie because it's a Sunday and Father's Day, but that week. So somebody just got to the part of the show where we were talking about this. Nick Castellanos. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with me. I appreciate it. Stay tuned tomorrow. So we got Grapsity for you guys. We've got our Worlds Collide post show. We've got a post show for Money in the Bank on Fightful Select and on the main channel. We're rocking and rolling through the summer with you guys. Thank you so much for supporting. Subscribe so you know when all of the things I just mentioned come up for you. And also head over to mybookie.ag because there's some things you might want to put your money on. Stay tuned to Fightful Select for those underdog lock picks if we have any, and for all the scoops you could want for the Money in the Bank, PLE, and probably some Worlds Collide ones in there too. But before we go, Brian more or less saying, hello, Kate. Lovely to see you. Fantastic to see you. More or less. Just kidding. More. Entirely more. Only fantastic and up around these parts. But thank you so much for hanging out with us. Enjoy whatever PLEs you're watching. Enjoy whatever wrestling you're watching. We'll be with you at Fightful all weekend for them. Thanks so much for hanging out. We'll see you next time.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.